Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Make sure you have your communion, a card, because that's going to be a part of my sermon and a part of our worship service today. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, and Mark chapter 8, verse 36. It's a new year. Here are the most common new year resolutions. It's the same list every year. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. Doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter where you live, what you have, what you don't have. This is the most common New Year resolution every single year. Exercise more. Lose weight. Get organized. Learn a new skill or hobby. Live life to the fullest. Whatever that means. Save money. Spend less. Notice it doesn't say make more money. It says save money and spend less. Quit smoking. I didn't know that's still a thing. But spend more time with family and friends. Travel more and read more. That's the common list every year. How many of you guys have one of those on your list? All right, I told you to entertain me, okay? There you go. See, to entertain me, to keep me engaged. You don't want me to fall asleep while I'm talking. So that's the list every single year. It doesn't matter what year, in the 40s, in the 50s, in the whatever year we're turning into, that's the list. That's what everyone collectively around the world, most popular, top 10 of New Year resolution. And this is what we all want. And we have a yearning for it because, you know, in a sense, that's how God created us to be. That's what we yearn for. It's in us. It's in all of us. Because that's how God created us to be. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, what a great way to start. In the beginning, 2023, in the beginning, this is what God, the Hebrew people, wanted everyone to know. What is life about? How does this work? How does that work? What is this relationship about? How much money should I make? What kind of activities should I be in? What kind of things should I get involved with or professions? All these things that we ask ourselves every single day. Whether you are successful or not successful, some of these questions we ask, and God and the Hebrew people wanted his people to know. Before you even start to get into all that, I want you to know one thing and one thing only. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God wanted us to know something. Everything is under him. The perfect creation. Before we can start doing anything else, we have to recognize one thing and one thing in our lives. That under God, everything else. But first and foremost, he created everything. God wanted us to have this idea, this image that before the fall, creation represents the basic human needs. Especially, there's no other gods, right? The basic human, there's no other gods. And rest was just not a thing, but it was a must. It was also spiritual. It was a must, but it's also spiritual. Look at the top 10 list. Go back to the top 10 list real quick. Exercise more, lose weight, get organized, learn some new skills, hobby, live life to the fullest, save money, spend less, quit smoking, spend more time with family and friends, travel more, and read more. Think about creation for a second. Think about the garden, okay? Man, God says to what? He created man, and he says, wander, walk more. There were no cars, right? God didn't create a car for man and say, hop in your car and start driving around. Man was walking more, exercising. We exercise. We check out the things in the garden. Lose weight. I don't think we needed to lose weight because we probably just walk around all day long. We're exercising the whole time anyways. Get organized. We didn't have a lot of things to worry about. We wake up, we water our plants, we take care of our wives. Or wife, or Eve at the time, right? Not our wives. I'm saying in plural term because, you know, like there's an audience here. So take care of our wife. You know, our kids, you know, they probably just get up and go watch the birds sing and come back for dinner, you know, until the sun goes down. So we didn't have to organize anything. We don't have to worry about 9 a.m. meeting and 10 a.m. play day and 11 a.m. doctor's office and 3 p.m. nap time and 4 p.m. we got to prepare for dinner. And then 5 p.m. we got to set up the play. And 6 p.m. your husband comes home or your wife comes home from work and now you have to entertain them as well. How many guys can relate to that? Yeah. I know, entertain me, right? Life was very simple. We didn't have to get organized. Things were just the way it is. Learn new skill and hobby, you know. We were tending the garden. Like every day you learn something new. You know, oh, that plant doesn't go well with that, right? That color doesn't go with that. You shouldn't plant those plants together. The ground doesn't work that way. You got to give it some rest. So this is good, right? This is good. All right. So this is the So here's the deal, all right? Gary Sorber is out of town, right? So this star has been up there for the past month and a half. But we're going to do something with the star for our service. And as I was putting this together, I should have called Sean or someone that's a little more handy. But I said, I can do this. I'm not handy at all. So I'm so not handy that everything I hung in my house, it falls down after like 30 days. And Liz hates it because like 30 days later, it just falls down. My curtain is down. Our little fruit basket is down. And I told her she wants this little swinging chair that she wants to hang in the corner of the house. I said, I'll hang it while you're out of town. She's like, no. Wait for Gary to come back. So as I was putting this together yesterday, I said, it would be really funny if it falls in the middle of me speaking. So I can make a comment to Gary Sorber. This is what happened when you're out of town. Right? This is what happened. We're going to leave it the way it is. Just make sure you keep entertaining me today, okay? Learn new skills. That's what I was doing. You know, guys, learn new skills. Let's do something. Save money and spend less. Quit smoking. You know, there probably wasn't a lot of stress in the garden, or probably no stress at all. So we didn't need to smoke. We didn't need to take a break and go for a smoke. Things were fine. Look at the top. Continue with the top 10 list here. Spend more time with family and friends. They're probably very intentional. Travel more. God told them to explore the grounds and wander off in the garden. Everything I have is yours. Go and enjoy it. Enjoy it. So the list of top 10 and read more. I'm not going to cover read more. I'm going to cover that in a little bit because I'm not sure what they would be reading back then, right? I wasn't there. But I'll cover that in a little bit. But what we want deep down inside, all of us, that list of top 10s of 2023 is the yearning of the basic life that we all want. That's how God created us to have, to want, to yearn for those things. That's what we really, really want. And it seems humorous and silly, but maybe the truth is in the humor of it all. And then the fall happens, and our temptations to have more, to move faster, and to want more, to have more, and it becomes an addiction. And I'm not talking about, don't misinterpret what I'm saying, I'm not talking about hard work, right? It's okay to work hard. Work was there in the garden before the fall. I'm not talking about hard work at all. I'm talking about when success takes the place of our basic yearning for life. When it becomes a distraction from the life that God desires for us. We want more. We want to move faster. We want to accumulate. We want to work in a sense where we're neglecting our families and relationships because we're the pursuit of more and more and more. And we're so bad at this, right? This is not 2023 thing, right? I can't believe I'm saying 2023. We are so bad at this that before the 12 tribes, I mean, before they go into the promised land, God gave them a command. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, which is one of your texts today, the Bible is divided into two parts, Old Testament and awesome. There are four gospels, Matthew, Mark, awesome. And Exodus is right when they were leaving Egypt, Exodus chapter 20. It's in the Old Testament. If you have your Bible, there's one on the seats. Make sure you grab that. Bring it out. If you're new to church, it's okay. It's not that intimidating. It's the story of God. Okay? It's the story of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Notice that the command, it's not talking about don't be successful and have and earn your keep and enjoy the fruit of your labor. It's not saying that. What it's saying is, Don't envy. Don't covet. The command is for those who are envying, comparing, stealing their neighbor's stuff. And it doesn't matter how successful you are. Let's just throw it out there, right? Wealthy or not wealthy is relative, right? It's all a relative thing. But everyone falls in the trap of envying, compare, and steal. The command here is not to not be successful. The command here is don't destroy yourselves in the process of pursuing success, pursuing hard work. Don't destroy your family in the process. Don't destroy your basic relationship, and don't destroy the basic life that I have given you that you all yearn for on the top 10 list of every New Year resolution. The big lesson for us is that this is you don't have to have it. Sums up in God's command. You don't have to have it. Success is not the problem. The problem is that we look at the hard work of our neighbors, spending years of perfecting their crafts, or God has blessed them with abundance. They saved, they gave God their first 10%. They can afford a house where each kids get their own room instead of cramping everybody in there, right? Some of you guys can relate to that. We see their fancy car, the newer models, and we insist that we need one too. And we're going to do anything we can to have it. And when I think about this command, you know, why did Moses even put in there, or God essentially told him to write it down? Don't go after your neighbor's donkey, you know? There must have been some really fancy donkeys back then. <It's> like, 'cause, you know, donkey was used for some food, but mainly for milk. And then as time progressed, donkeys were used mainly for transportation. So there gotta be some real fancy donkeys back then with souped up turbocharge of some sort, you know? And you look at your neighbor's donkey and you say, the souped up, the newest model donkey, and you gotta have it, right? I want that. You know, I want that on mine so I can get there faster, right? You know, I'm here to tell you that the encouragement from God is the basic life, the top 10. If your donkey isn't souped up, it's okay. You might have to leave a little early to get here on time. That's a good practice for church anyways, right? Get here on time. I'm not yelling at you. All right, I'm not yelling at you. Okay, don't take this personally, some of you. But you're going to get there eventually. It's not worth getting in debt to suit up your donkey and spend the next 3 to 10 years paying it back. And you're stressed out. You feel like you have to get a part-time job on top of the two jobs you already have just to pay back and keep up the things that you have that you're in debt for. The idea of a jetpack on a donkey is silly. But the truth is, the silliness is you. Putting a jetpack on a donkey and spending the next 3 to 10 years paying it back. We're so bad at this that God has to put that as a command. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Most of the stress of life, how we get back to the basic top 10, is it's stop wanting your neighbor's stuff. And even your neighbor's wife's stuff. But that's a whole different sermon in itself, right? Don't want your neighbor's wife's stuff, you know? You don't have to have it. If we think cheating is bad today, it was in the commands. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. You think the world is falling apart. It was in the commands. We have this quote hanging on our fridge at our house. It's called "All We Need Is Less." And every day we look at our fridge and we go into our fridge and we go into, you know, you spend most of your time in the kitchen because that's where the food is, you know. And then you walk by, we walk by it every day. And so we look at this sign, we say, "All we need, it's less." The point here is not to discourage you from working hard and earn and have nice things or buy things that you can enjoy, that you can afford. The point here is God's commanding us, don't look at your neighbor's success as to want it, to envy it, but look at your neighbor's success as a way of motivation. How do you get there? What can you teach me? My entire life, it's about that. I lean on people who I know has done and been there and earned their keep. I say, you know, what is it? How can I get there? And a lot of times it's years of experience and years of expertise, and they have learned a couple of things too. So use your neighbor's success as a motivation to get there, but don't use your neighbor's success as a way of envying and destroy your life in the process. Contrary to the popular beliefs, you know, you have to be poor to be a Christian. You don't. And this is not a health and wealth gospel either. I'm far from that. You guys know that by now. But the point is that you don't have to be poor because you're a Christian. But being content and working hard until you can afford it, it's godly living. All right? You don't have to be poor because you're a Christian. But being content and working hard until you can afford it, it's godly living. So I look really expensive today. I am. Right? I look really expensive. So here's the cool part, right? So I got this nice shirt for Christmas. I know you're asking, like, what do you get for your birthday and for your Christmas? If you didn't know it was my birthday yesterday, it's not too late. My birthday was yesterday. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's an offering basket here. Just kidding. No, I'm kidding. So I got this shirt for Christmas. You're asking, like, what'd you get for your birthday and Christmas? Like, I'm wearing it, right? I'm wearing my birthday and Christmas gifts, right? So I found a bunch of gift cards in my house. And throughout the years, people have given us gift cards. And Liz and I would just throw it in the drawer. And you know, some of them are from Macy's and whatnot. And we look at a Macy's gift card. We're like, oh, you know, we're probably never going to go there. But we save it up, and then I finally found some Macy's gift card, and that sat there for an hour and a half calling every single gift card to make sure we have money on there. And certainly we found like over $200 in Macy's gift card that went back to about 4 years or 5 years even. So being a good husband that I am, I went to Macy's and bought everything for myself for my birthday. Got me some new pants to go along with this shirt that I got. Got some other things. You might see me wearing some new clothes the next couple of weeks. But my point is that you don't have to be poor because you're a Christian. You can have nice things, but don't lose your life in the process of obtaining them. Working hard and waiting until you can afford it, it's godly living. It's okay. We are so bad at this that Jesus even repeated as one of his commands, repeating the Ten Commandments. He's in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. He says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world? You know this. And yet what? Forfeit their soul. There are two parts to this. The obvious is some people worship things that they forget to worship God. So they end up losing their salvation for it. But the second part to this is when it comes to living life here on earth. It's not worth it to spend all your time and resources to compete with our neighbors and to lose what we really want in life. Notice how I say that? It's not worth it to spend our time and resources to compete with our neighbors that we lose what we really want in life. The word gain is the word to get ahead, to get more. The word soul is the word life. So essentially what we can learn from, some people refer to Jesus as the wise teacher. So let's start with that. Some of you guys might be new to church. And this wise teacher happened to be God himself. And he repeat the Ten Commandments. He says, don't be so busy in this life to get ahead and loses the life I have for you in the process. That's what essentially what God is reminding us. Jesus reminding everybody, don't get so busy trying to get ahead that you lose the life that I have for you. You don't have to have it. You don't have to have it. Bang, come, phi, noi, ga. I wasn't speaking in tongues. I was telling you in Vietnamese, just in case any Vietnamese people are in here. You don't have to have it. I love South Florida. How many of you guys love South Florida? Woo! I've been here for 28 years. I love it. I love Boca Raton especially. I live on the same road growing up, Glades Road. But I keep moving east because I love the ocean. But Boca Raton is probably not the easiest place to practice the simple life. Sometimes I joke that Boca has so much money that they can like pay the rain to stay away. It just seems like everything, it's always so nice here in Boca, isn't it? Like I call my West Boca friends, like, hey, let's hang out. They go, it's pouring. I say, what are you talking about? It's sunshine in East Boca. Come on over. It seemed like it's always nice here. And of course, my two sons, I have four kids, if you're new to our church, Avery, Aram, Ari, and Vala. But my two sons are getting to that age where we hang out, you know, doing boy stuff. Like we love fishing. We go all the time and they go to the parks with their mom and they experience and enjoy Boca in all its glory, right? Especially when we hop on our little Boston Whaler. Yes, I have a little boat. Like, I mean, really little. Like, little enough that it's just me and my two sons. That's it. No guests. Two adults go on it, fine. Three adults, not so much, right? My tip over. And when we go on a little boat and then we go down the intracoastal, of course, Avery and Aram would look at the big homes. And they say, wow, that's cool. And then we would have to avoid bigger boats. And then, because if a bigger boat comes by and the wake, and then it might flip us over. So we have to go all the way to the wall to avoid the big boats. And there are only certain sections in the intercoastal where you can go really fast. And we're at that part. Now, a lot of boaters, if you're a boater, you know, you can't wait to get to this part, right? Like that's when you let it go and let it rip. But those people, when they come to those sections, they feel so bad for us, they slow down. let me help this guy and his son out here. Why don't we flip them over? And the boys will look at the big boats and the big homes. They say, wow, that's so cool. But here's what they say that just touches my heart. They say, it's okay, Daddy. We love our boats. We love our boat because we're on it. And then we have friends who have big boats. And then we would go on Felix's boat. Felix's boat, it's like really big. Like a lot bigger than ours. Like ours can fit, you know, 5 times over or 10 times over in Felix's boat. And we go and they have a great time. And then that's when they love to go fast. Or they always tell Felix, go faster, go faster, go faster. And then as we're going down the intercoastal, there's another big boat, like a yacht. Like, you know, one of those Delray one where people pay to get on and go by. And Avery and Aram always gets excited when they see it. And they shout, wow, look at that boat. And he said something that just makes sense. He said, Daddy, that boat doesn't have Felix on it. We have Felix on this boat. You remember that? Perhaps a 9-year-old has it correct. It's not what we have, but it's who we're with. Isn't that the basics of life that we all want, the top 10? It's not what we have, but it's who we are with. Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus says, what good is it for man to gain the world and yet forfeit their soul? What good is it to pursue more and loses the life that God intended for us to live? The top 10 wish for humanity every year is to yearn for the life that we're not pursuing. We wish it can go backwards. Isn't that ironic? The life top 10 for every humanity, every human on this earth is wish we can go back and not even going after the life we're pursuing. I'm not saying that you should be poor because you're a Christian. What I'm saying is don't lose your life in the process. How do we do that? And then, by the way, we model our church after this. You guys been noticing the awning that was like ripped and half fallen down and you walk in and it's ugly. Yeah. Right? But we didn't We didn't have money to replace it, so we needed to wait to have money to replace it. We're not going to go in debt. How, you know, like, we want to teach you the basic, right? It's okay. You don't have to have it. But when you have the money, yeah, spend it on it. But how do I live as the way God intended, the way he created us, the simple life, the top 10 New Year resolution kind of life? And we are so bad at this. The first thing Paul, when he went to start teaching about Jesus and he started to travel the Mediterranean and he hit the biggest city, Rome. And this is what he said to Rome. This is the biggest city. The most glamorous city. This is what he said. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The number 10th on that list is to read more. I don't know what they were reading in the garden, but I can certainly encourage you to do this here. Replacing the way of the world with the words of God. Start reading the Bible. Harder said than done, right? I mean, we live in South Florida. It's hard not to envy or want nicer things. It's ingrained in us. It's bombarded. And it's hard. I know some of you are struggling at the same time. You're like, how do I raise my kids in this environment? We're pushed towards commercials and signs and more and more and more. You just go to Meisner Park and you see cards that you didn't know existed. And you see infomercials and commercials late at night. You're watching and they're selling you stuff. And then they said, if you buy it now for this $9.99, but wait, there's... more and more and more and more. And as I get into those mindset, yes, your pastor living here in Boca Raton, I want those things too. And God's word reminded me, what good is it for man to gain the world and yet lose his soul? Maybe your new year, it's not continue to pursue, but maybe your new year is continue to read. So we're going to do something really cool this morning. Can you come up here, Joe? Sorry this fell down during service. Just hold that right there for me. Yeah. Can you handle that? Lewis and Ben, come forward. So this is what we're going to do this morning. So this star has been up there for the past month and a half. And every year we do this at our church. That you get to take something home in the new year to remind you that God is with you. On the table, there's a basket and today's prayer card. And behind these cards is a passage of scripture. Just grab a random one. It might be for you. You put this wherever you need to put it to remind you that God is always with you. The name of Jesus, the Emmanuel, it's always with you. That all you need is less. And may you remember and memorize this passage of scripture in your life. When you came in, you have a pen and a card and communion. So we're going to go through a time of worship. Take your time on this. Don't rush it. Write down your prayer to God, whatever it may be, whatever your commitment is, whatever your word is, whatever that is for you. And whenever you're done, you bring it up and you drop it in the basket. And we're going to pray for you all year. It sits right on my desk. And you take the yarn and the card and you go back to your seat. And then you take communion whenever you're ready. It's on your own time. But don't rush it. Don't everyone walk up here and get in the line. Just take your time. We're going to sing for a little while. But let's welcome 2023. Maybe not to pursue, but to go back and know God's word. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for all you've given us. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And thank you for this time that we worship. We welcome 2023 with our commitment to you. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. And there was no longer any tears, any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautiful, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place, it's now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tears from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying nor pain, for the old earth, the old order of things has passed away. And the one who's sitting at the throne says, I am making everything new. And as you welcome 2023, may that yawn as a reminder that God is with you. May that yawn be a prayer for you every single day. Maybe you're praying for a family member or a lost one or someone that you want to be in your thoughts every single day as you lift them up to God. But know that God is with you, and no other name, the name Jesus. Amen. Let's sing I'm Home one more time and then we'll end our service. If you haven't taken communion, go ahead now. It's the time to take it as well. Amen. Can you turn the lights back on for me? Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, placed near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King, my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are set on pilgrimage. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your court than 1,000 elsewhere. May God bless you for year 2023. You have a blessed week. We'll see you next week.